Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. So as far as the Titans are concerned, this offseason is so interesting to me because, yes, there's a lot of new pieces on the roster. It feels like a completely different team. New head coach, new coordinators, not a new general manager, but year two of a general manager where things are still fairly new. I mean, when I first got to town, this team looked a lot different than it does now. Things are different. So this offseason is about learning the coaches, learning the coordinators, learning the styles, learning Brian Callahan, how he interacts with the players, how he interacts with the media. It's also a lot about the players not just learning each other. Will Levis learning Calvin Ridley and Tyler Boyd and the offensive line and you know, creating chemistry with Tavondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons. It's also about the players learning the coaches as well. And we heard Will Levis say something about 2 weeks ago. It was before the first OTAs. Said something that made us all kind of raise our eyebrows a little bit. This was Will Levis.
Yeah, I know. I feel great having these last 5-6 weeks to be with the guys and learn the offense. Obviously, having that jump start is huge, but physically, I feel like I'm in a better spot than I've been in a really, really long time. That was one of the things I was looking on improving the most this offseason, just getting healthy, getting my stuff back, being able to play the game like I know I can. So it's been cool to feel my body get to that point, and I'm going to keep working to even get past there.
And he had another clip in there where he talked about, basically, I feel a lot more comfortable this year than I did last year. Basically, I feel like I have more of a voice this year than I did last year. And we were like, uh-oh, is that an anti-Vrabel sentiment? What
talking about the ex
mean?
There.
Yep. Talking about how bad your ex was. Well, your new girlfriend's the best ever.
Don't compare me to him or her.
Exactly. Yeah. And we thought, you know, it is a pet peeve of mine when it's everything the old one did, girlfriend, boyfriend, GM, coach, whatever was awful. Everything the new girlfriend, boyfriend, GM, or coach is doing is wonderful. But I thought that's means something coming from the starting quarterback. We talked about it, kind of moved on. And then Brian Callahan was on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast. Kind of heard a very similar sentiment.
When we went into the facility, it seemed like everybody was way more loose. Guys were coming up to us saying, hey, like, it's different. Like, things, the energy's different. There's a higher vibe here. Mm-hmm. That doesn't take away from anything from John and Vrabe. Like, there was a Patriots way type of vibe where buttholes are tight when you go into a team meeting and you know you can get exposed if you have a bad play at practice. So it was like everyone's got to be on their to know that on Sunday we're going to go win. Like, how long, once you got in the building and got with the guys, did you see the transition of them, like, all right, letting their shoulders down, letting their guard down a little bit? Yeah. Of being like, okay, we can mix it up a little bit with the coach.
Yeah,
because head ball coach and a GM, that's a tough two guys to mix it up with and feel comfortable, yes, unless you're like a vet that's been in the game for a long time.
And I still feel like guys get nervous sometimes around me, and I don't. It's new for me being in the role too. I realize how much
you're
more
not the position coach or coordinator.
I feel like I'm learning more about the weight of my words and my interactions and how much it matters to guys when maybe you don't think twice about it, but it might be the only time you interact with the head coach for a week.
So, and Brian Callahan goes on in a long diatribe about the way that he interacts with the players and, you know, kind of his philosophy as a coach. But really, the big thing there is saying, hey, back then, and this is coming from Taylor Lewan, who was very much so in the pro Vrabel camp, close with Mike Vrabel, our buttholes used to be tight. It's a little bit of a different vibe here. And then we heard from some players at the podium, at the side of practice at OTAs yesterday, Chigga Conquo and Arden Key also reiterating a very similar sentiment.
You mentioned the vibes are immaculate. Where can you tell that? Where does that maybe show up on the practice field or maybe in the locker room?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like guys are just more relaxed, you know, now. With our building, I feel like guys come in and they're not as tense, not as stressed out. And it just, you know, allow people to be a lot more free in the locker room. I mean, we always were free in the locker room, but there's a lot more free on the field. I think we're going to see a lot of that this year.
The intensity he got, the detail, and we don't move on until everything gets fixed. And the detail he got and the swag that he got and that he come in with every day, oh man, it's going to be exciting.
Did you move on before some details were fixed in the past?
Hell yeah. Yes, we moved on. If we messed up, we didn't fix it. And now this year, when we mess up, we don't move on until we fix it.
That was Chuka Okonkwo saying, we feel a lot more free on the field. Arden Key saying, you know, hell yeah, we moved on from drills, even if it wasn't perfect. Again, I'll go back to, I don't want this to be about everything about the old regime was horrible and they were the reason that everything went wrong. And the new regime is going to win the Super Bowl this year and then everyone's going to ride off into the sunset forever and ever. Amen. That's not necessarily the sentiment, but we're hearing it from Will Levis. You heard it there from Arden Key, from Chuka Okonkwo, even from Taylor Lewan talking about how the vibe feels different. I mean, it is clear. Things are different. It doesn't necessarily mean better, but it could mean better. I mean, D-Mace, you've been there. You've been through coaching changes. You've probably felt the culture shifts and the leadership changes.
I mean, I was part of one in Baltimore. And I guess to understand it, obviously, you would have to be there to experience it. But what I found in, you know, when it happened to Baltimore, you can be that way because Taylor even mentioned the whole, you know, Belichick and New England way and all this other stuff. And that was even preached when Mike first got the job. On every station, it was the Belichick way, the Belichick way, the Belichick way. The Belichick way don't work anymore. It doesn't.
The Belichick way is Tom Brady.
It's dead. The Belichick way is gone. The only way, I forget who I was listening to, and they were talking about, and this is when Bill, you know, couldn't get a job or whatnot. So it wasn't too long ago. And he said, one of the guys said, listen, we were playing for Tom Brady. We didn't want to disappoint Tom Brady. Had nothing to do with the head coach. We didn't want to, because we knew how hard he worked, you know? So we wanted to make sure we did that and more, because if he's working that hard, we better damn sure make sure we're working that hard. So we don't want to disappoint Tom. Damn the coach. The Belichick stuff works only when you're winning, because guys can't say anything. They hate it, but hell, we're winning. We can't say anything. And our only saving grace is we got this hell of a quarterback that, you know what? We're going to channel all our energy toward our quarterback. We're going to play for our quarterback. Damn him. We don't like the things that he does, but we got Tom, and Tom's going to win us games. That's how it seemed like they felt. You can run that type of – it seemed like it was this dictatorship. I'm not saying that it was, but from the way guys are talking, guys scared and nervous about meetings. Why in the hell as a grown man would you be nervous and scared to go to a meeting just because coach going to point you out and embarrass you in front of everybody? Don't you think I know I messed up? You know, I'm not trying to mess up on a purpose, but I messed up. Now it's time to correct it and move on. But when you have a situation where a coach, now I'm not saying, I am only saying this based upon what these guys are talking about. I'm not making anything up. So we were going to meetings every morning, and why? So guys could get pointed out and show how bad they were doing. That crap don't fly when you're not winning. It don't fly when you're winning, but I can't say anything. But when we're not winning, it doesn't fly. And guys are uncomfortable around the building. You know, guys don't want to do nothing. Guys, they're shelling themselves. So when he leaves, it's like, whoo, man, I'm glad this is over with. He was a good coach. But the stuff that he was doing, it kept us in a state of being frightened. Or always having to feel like we're on our toes. Like, we got to be, like, Vrabel's around. Oh, my goodness. The coach, we got to make sure we're buttoned up and make sure we're not doing anything wrong. You can't operate under that prism, you know, year after year after year. Guys get tired of it. When guys walked out of this building, there were few guys that were talking when they walked out of this building. And nobody wanted to believe them. And now you're starting to see all this other stuff that come out. Not that Vrabel was a bad coach, but like some of the things that went on within that building. Guys, it didn't resonate with them anymore. You know, we were winning at first. We had to sort of go along. We had to do it. But the minute we stopped winning and you still doing these things that you're doing, it doesn't fly anymore. It doesn't. Now a new coach comes in and it's like, whew, man, I'm glad we got rid of that, man. It's like, now we don't have to worry about, you know, coming into room and trying to figure out who's going to be embarrassed today. They're grown men. You don't need to sit there and embarrass a grown man to get him to do what you're asking him to do. Guys got tired of that. And it's different now. Not to say that Callahan may not, as we get into the season, that honeymoon's going to wear off. Mm-hmm. Once you get in the season, you ain't winning games, that honeymoon's going to wear off very quickly. So not to say that Brian's not going to, you know, do some of those things.
Yeah.
But he doesn't see the way he has sort of come off to the guys. It doesn't seem like he's that type of coach. They don't have to worry about getting embarrassed in a room just because they made a mistake or ran the wrong route or blocked down when they should have been blocking another way or didn't hold their block. I know I messed up. Everybody knows I messed up. You told me that day I messed up. But then you want to show the next day again? Like, this is where, and embarrassing me in front of everybody? That crap don't work. You don't, to me, you don't coach like that. You don't coach, you don't get in it to embarrass people to get them to do what you need to do. No. Teach them like Brian said. We're going to talk to you, teach you how to do things. If you can't do it, we're just going to get somebody else to do it.
The central question is the modern approach.
Exactly.
In the NFL, what's the best way to do it? And, you know, what elements of the old school are you keeping? Because I do think there's something to be said for the old school to a degree.
There it is.
But like you said, with the Belichick, with, I always use Bobby Knight as the extreme example
it don't fly
of
anymore.
It just, it doesn't go. It number one, you know, it's just unacceptable behavior in a lot of, in an extreme case. But now even when you're, if everybody's on pins and, or on eggshells, walking on eggshells, on pins and needles, like worried, that's probably not the environment you're trying to create. Mm-hmm. Clearly, Callahan is trying to take them to another area. But the trade-off, what you want to see is, can you get an attention to detail still when you have a little bit more of a, when you're the player's coach? Mm-hmm. That, isn't that always the age-old thing? Like, I'm the player's coach, but I got to hope that my team is smart enough to still be the stickler for detail that you have to be to win. Because that is what the disciplinarian drives home, right? Is every little detail matters, and if you don't, there will be consequences. Either I'm going to pull you out, I'm going to call you out in a meeting, all of these things, right? There is a reason that that did work for a long time, right?
Exactly.
The drill sergeant kind of thing.
It's funny because I think we all viewed Vrabel as a player's coach.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah.
And he related to the players on a different level of, I sat in your seat. Mm-hmm. I went through a grueling season. I've been where you've been. I've gone through things like that I can relate to you in a different level. And it did feel like, you know, I think Taylor Lewan is the perfect example. A certain level of friendship, still respect, still a level of superiority, but a level of jokiness that Mike Vrabel had that Bill Belichick definitely did not have. But I think that there were a lot more Belichickisms within Vrabel than Vrabel probably even wanted to admit. Because although Vrabel didn't come from the Belichick coaching tree, he's still part of the Belichick tree.
Yeah, because he played under that system. And again, this is not a, you know, Mike Vrabel did things wrong. No, Mike, I thought he was a good coach. I thought he accomplished a lot in the 5 or 6 years he was here. Mm-hmm. He did a good job. They all did a good job at, you know, taking that roster and improving it from when they got it. You know, they improved it more. They took it over. John did with Mike Mularkey. They took it over and they started building. And then Vrabes took it and ran with it. He enhanced it. So he did a good job. But just because you do a good job doesn't mean there still aren't things that players just don't vibe with. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll go along with it because we're winning. It's cool. I get it. But it's not ideal. But the minute things are not going well and you're trying to find, you know, reasons like, why isn't this thing working? And then you steady got this coach beating your head in. And I guarantee you, there were players on that team that were probably thinking like, well, you getting on us like this. What about your special teams coach? What about your offensive line coach? You jumping on us? And I'm not trying to make it seem like every day they walked in there and Vrabel was on them. I'm only basing it upon what Taylor said and what some other guys have said about just feeling comfortable now walking into that room. That's big. That is when a player says, now we feel comfortable, like now we feel we can let our hair down. That's telling. Mm-hmm. That means you were walking on eggshells with the last go. As good as Vrabel might have been, there still was a disconnect. You still felt as if you were walking on eggshells around them or when you went into meetings.
And if you look at a majority of an NFL roster, 22, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, mm-hmm. like they're young, 25, 26-year-old players. Things are changing. The drill sergeant approach doesn't necessarily work anymore. The more tough than love, it doesn't work anymore. The gentle parenting, I know, is a kind of a big trend right now. With, you know, I have friends that are having children, gentle parenting, and it's not punishment and spanking and timeouts. It's talking through your feelings. It's talking about things. Why do you feel that way? It's a lot.
And some
more
people
of a,
really don't like gentle that, approach. Right? Some of the old school are like, "Come on, we're getting soft. We're getting soft." Right.
Yes.
Why do you feel that way? I mean, I get it, but you still getting an ass whooping. That's what you're getting. After that, you're still going to get in trouble.
And it's not like Brian Callahan is soft.
Yeah, he's not
soft. Gentle.
Strong.
It's not like, well, let's talk about how you were feeling when you threw that interception. Like, I don't think it's going to be that kind of approach. But
I hope it's not.
Well, I'm so sorry that happened to you.
But aren't we getting to the point, though? We started with Levis. This everything comes back to the same thing. What does this approach do for Will Levis?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And what does this approach do for a record? Because it's all, I mean, we see it as in the media, the way that Brian Callahan versus Mike Vrabel interacted with the media, big 180 there. I don't see Brian Callahan asking Joe Rexroth what he's doing with his hands or telling Jared that he needs to think like a man. That's different. Does that equal wins and losses? Do you see that on the field? Does facilitating a healthier environment in the facility lead to better results? I could make an argument one way or another.
I think it does. I think anytime you can make your environment conducive for individuals to work in it and excel in it, then, I mean, that's a good thing. It's always going to help. I think it helps. Listen, you can still, as a coach, get your point across and be stern without trying to embarrass, you know, because you may be able to get away with it once, maybe twice. But then, listen, if you keep doing it, and I'm not talking about with the same person, like embarrassing the same person. Mm-hmm. If it's just continuing to go around the room, like, oh, whose turn is it next to get embarrassed? Grown men in that field, they get tired of that stuff. Yeah. They do. And it's like, seriously, this is what we're doing now? We all know, you know, where we need to improve or where we messed up. Are we sitting here critiquing you every time you make a bad call? Or are you critiquing the other coaches when their player isn't, or you're not getting as much out of the player as you need? Are you then doing the same things in front of everybody?
Yeah,
because that's essentially what you're doing. You're doing this in front of everybody. And hey, listen, some guys may need it, some guys may not. But that's where, as a head coach, you got to know what guys can handle this and what guys just can't handle it. And it just seems like maybe he wasn't judicial in who he was sort of divvying out to. It seemed like it just went across the board. Like, I'm just going, this is, if you mess up, the next morning, you will be called out. Mm-hmm. Not if you mess up the next morning when we go into meetings. Hey, listen, we're just going to correct you. You know, these are the things you need to get done well. We're going to correct you because, hell, they come in enough time where that can be done before they even get to that team meeting where, hey, come here. I want to pull you aside. Mm-hmm. Listen, this is where I'm going to show you. Because I've had coaches do this. Mace, come here. All right. Pull me into their room. Hey, listen, I want you to run it like this. Offensive coordinators, wide receiver coach, I want you to run it like this. Or I want you to do it like this. Or why were you thinking that? Why did you do that? All right, we got our understanding. We know what it is. All right, let's go. It wasn't then embarrass Mason or anybody else in front of the whole team. We're grown men. That's not a motivation tactic. At least it wasn't with me. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it was with others, but I didn't experience that. And we won a whole bunch of damn games. But again, when you're winning championships, as Belichick was doing, you can get away with that. You can. But what happened the minute they were not winning?
Got old.
Got old very quickly.
But it's the same thing with Vrabel. They weren't winning championships, but the Titans were winning.
Yes.
The Titans were the number one seed in the AFC. The Titans got to the AFC championship game. When things started to slip, when the team didn't look very good, when they had a 7-game losing streak, that all got real old real quick.
Then stuff started coming out. Mm-hmm. People started slowly talking. Things started happening within the locker room. You see Tyrann Taylor, all of a sudden, he becomes a problem child now. this other guy becomes a problem child. They cut. It just seemed like all of this stuff in the locker room that we thought was just so great, all of a sudden now they start losing. All these things happen.
Losing's hard on a team.
Yeah,
you can attest to that.
Which tells me, and which would make me assume. I'm just going to say that. I'm not going to say I know.
Well, let's get into what you assume coming up next, or what you think, not what you know, but what you think, what you assume. I do want to get into that coming up next because I do want to continue this conversation and get into your thoughts, your texts, and your calls. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Again, we got Will Levis, Chigakonkwo, Arden Key, even Taylor Lewan talking about how things just feel different. A little easier, a little breezier in the Titans building. We'll continue this conversation coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
And then a new coach. I'll ask both of you guys, do you think they should have fired their coach?
Well, no. And he could turn out to be a very good coach, Rob Father, but you're not going to be as well or better coached in 2024 as you were the last few years. I mean, you know, he's not as good yet as Mike Vrabel was. So, also, I agree with you, Rob Father, in this sense. You guys had, I believe, six straight winning seasons up until the last 2 years. And I thought during those 6 years, you were the most underappreciated team in the league. But you've had back-to-back losing seasons, the only team in that division that can say that. So until you prove otherwise, that's why you're going to be spoken of the way that you are.
You think about Callahan and his impact on the offensive line, talking about Bill.
Oh, there's no doubt.
I think
that was Pat Kerwin on SiriusXM NFL Radio, and it was a caller. Hear them talking about Rob Father. That was a caller that called in asking about Brian Callahan.
What do we know about the Rob Father?
Rob Father, call in. 615-737-1025. But talk about, well, you're not going to be a better coach than Mike Vrabel. Should they have fired their coach? No. I know you had back-to-back losing seasons, but should you have fired your coach? No.
Okay, so put Kerwin in the club of the general national media loves Vrabel. That's pretty much it, right?
Yeah.
They just, he gets all benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
But that's how, I mean, that's how it was. I mean, we knew that.
Yeah.
Especially like toward the end, we knew that everything that was coming out was pro-Vrabel. Whoever you were listening to as far as talking heads in that business, it was always pro-Vrabel, and nothing was pro-organization. And, you know, that typically becomes a problem when that happens, when everything is, you know, on the coach's side, and then when you talk about the organization, is they don't know what they're doing. So what you're essentially saying is the GM and the owner don't know what they're doing, but the head coach is great. That's essentially what you're saying.
That's kind of what it felt like. Yeah. The vibe, what was it, January, whenever the Titans ultimately made the decision to move on from Mike Vrabel, that was the vibe. But we heard from Will Levis, Chigakonkwo, and Arden Key yesterday at OTAs. We heard it from Taylor Lewan on Bussin' with the Boys. It's a different feel in the locker room. That maybe there was a sense of, like, a weight on their shoulders that Chigakonkwo talks about how it's been lifted. They feel freer on the field. Arden Key saying, you know, well, did you guys move on from drills in the past when you still had things to work on? Hell yeah. Hell yeah, we did. So a lot of, you know, comparison from last year to this year. And again, this is not an anti-Vrabel, pro-Callahan sentiment. They're the ones saying it, not us. But, D-Mace, before the break, you said that kind of tells you something.
As far as the pro-Vrabel and or you know, things that have been coming out of this organization, I forget really my initial thought as I was, because I was thinking about it as I was sort of talking and it was coming to me, but I forget that initial thought. But when you look at this team and, you know, again, Vrabel did a good job, I believe, at steering this team or this organization in the right way. Now it's up to Brian and Rand to take it further. But he did a good job. And I think his coaching style had to be used at that particular moment for this team, because it was a team that or a roster that, frankly, wasn't very good. And they were coming off of a season, well, not off of a season, but seasons of just bad football. And, you know, again, Mike Mularkey and John Robinson started to put this team back together. And then, you know, Vrabes and John sort of took it and ran with it. Mm-hmm. But I think I would assume that when you're in it, there's not much you want to say, because I think we're all on the same boat as far as what we want to achieve. Now, how we get there may be a different story. Just because I don't like it doesn't mean I am not going to do it, because I know what the results are going to be more than likely. I heard Mike Tyson say this one day. He was talking about, you know, boxing. He said, listen, it's when you don't want to do it and still do it, that's dedication. It's like, damn, I'm tired. I don't want to, but I got to do it, because I know if I do it, these are the things that's going to happen because I do it. Not necessarily I like doing it. I don't want to get up every day at 3 o'clock in the morning and run 10 miles. Who wants to do that? That's not fun. But those were the things that boxers or Mike had to do. But he was saying, I don't like doing it, but I'm going to do it because I know what the end game is. It's a means to an end. I'm doing it for a reason. Put it over here with the Titans. In that situation, Mike had to coach a certain way, and maybe that's just the way he coaches. But when coaches come in, they have to be extra hard sometimes, extra hard to sort of get everything back in line. And players, majority of the players, understand that. They may not like it, but they understand if we are going to get where we need to go, then these are the things that we're going to have to do. As we're starting to do it, things are working out well. Okay, we're doing it, we're doing it. And then all of a sudden, now things are going left. Okay? Now all of a sudden, everybody start talking, people start talking. And here was my point. I'm glad I just talked through it. But here's my point, is that I will, again, if I'm like some of these guys that have come out and said whatever they needed to say, and you know, we got to do it because we need to do it. But once you start losing, you think that foundation was strong, but in actuality, it really wasn't strong. Because that's what we used to hear all of, you know, before the prior two seasons where the injuries sort of decimated the team and they started losing. They talked about the culture of this team. Yeah. It's great. It's great. It's great.
And I was one of those guys. I bought in. I did think the culture at the height of that whole thing was very strong.
I would agree.
And what is the – culture isn't what?
Culture's not winning.
Exactly. But culture isn't, oh, it's good when we're winning, but it's bad when we're losing. Culture is, it's good when we're winning and it's good when we're losing, because we know there's an end goal.
Everything's good when you're winning.
Yes, but again, I just assume. I'm not saying that this is the truth, people. I'm not saying that I heard this from anybody. But when you hear people talk about foundation, our foundation is solid, our foundation. But then you start losing and then there's cracks. There's people talking. There's things that are happening. And then all of a sudden that coach is gone, and then the floodgates open. Mm-hmm. This is how it was. Now we feel more relaxed. Well, y'all really didn't have a culture. I'm just being honest about it. Y'all really didn't have a culture. Because even in that culture, if y'all losing, y'all still hold it together. Nothing comes out of that building. Okay? There was a culture built in New England. And the culture wasn't because of Bill Belichick. The culture was because of Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Nothing came out of that building, because whether we were losing, they didn't do much losing. But if they lost or won, it was going to be the same thing across the board. When the Titans started losing, we started to see cracks. Guys started to talk. So was the culture really that strong in the beginning? That's what I wonder, because all of a sudden now, you know, in a span of 5 years, the last 2 years, things started to come out. And why did they come out? Because y'all were losing. Mm-hmm. It ain't coming out of y'all winning. The culture is great. Everybody loves it.
Yeah.
The minute y'all start losing, now it's, you know, we don't like him. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. He wasn't this. He wasn't that. Y'all culture wasn't as strong as y'all said it was.
And that's what I think it's really all about. That's the crux of this argument. It's not tough versus soft.
Exactly.
Or hard ass versus super nice guy. Mm-hmm. It's about culture, and culture is built by a sense of trust, by a sense of communication, And if you can build those things the way that Vrabel did it, mm-hmm. then great. And if that's successful, then you can build a successful culture that way, and a strong culture mm-hmm. that way, a winning culture. Do it that way. Brian Callahan is just doing it a different mm-hmm. way. We'll see if it works.
Yeah.
We'll see if it's the right way. And it's not like Brian Callahan's just throwing a bunch of pizza parties every single night.
No, I'm sure, again, this is the honeymoon stage.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is perfect. And you hope even after the honeymoon stage that things still remain good. But, you know, they're never going to be the way it was when y'all first, like, just tied the knot. And everything was just peaches and cream and butterflies flying all around your head and people singing everywhere you go. As you started to get into it, it ain't a lot less people are singing,
mm-hmm.
a lot less butterflies. But that doesn't mean you still, if the foundation was built strong, then you'll just weather through that. You'll just keep on going. To me, it seems like the culture wasn't as strong. I'm not saying it wasn't strong, but the culture wasn't as strong. And what he was doing and saying was wearing on some of these guys, so much so that now they're starting to talk about it. And I know once they hear this, they're going to say, we didn't mean it that way. That's not how it was meant. I'm only going by what you're saying. I wasn't in the building. It was y'all were in the building. Now y'all spilling the tea.
Yeah.
You can't pour the tea and then say it wasn't like that.
You can't put tea back in the teapot.
Exactly.
You don't work that way.
Hey, listen, y'all added the sugar to the tea. You can't now subtract the sugar in the tea. It's already in there, you know, and that's what's happening. So.
Do you want to get into some of your thoughts on this? Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jared from Spring Hill texts in and says, big bad Vrabel, you all are kind of sounding soft. Football's not a kumbaya sport. It's not.
I do think we're going to hear this some.
Mm-hmm. We will.
If they struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hear it a lot if they struggle.
Everything
right?
gets old when you're losing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Whether it's.
Everything gets questioned when you're losing.
Totally. 100%. But don't think about football as not a kumbaya sport, because obviously it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the players.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the average age of an NFL player mm-hmm. right now. Things are different
yes.
than maybe 20 years ago. Like, you just have to think about the way that these players work as human beings, how these players work in terms of relationship building and building trust. It's not drill sergeant. It's mm-hmm. not tough love. It's not ruling by a sense of fear. You're not going to gain trust that way.
No.
And I'm not saying that Mike Vrabel was necessarily ruling with an iron fist and all of the players were absolutely terrified of Vrabel and he didn't have relationships with any of them, because I don't think that's the case at all. Mm-hmm. I think that Mike Vrabel did have close relationships with a lot of his players.
Exactly.
There's a lot of these players, they're coming up differently.
Mm-hmm.
The way that they're coached in high school and in college is different than it was done in the past.
It's a guy like, say, for instance, because guys, I mean, listen, you have to approach every guy different. You have to. Because everybody, the way I approach you isn't the same way I can approach Nick or Willie, and vice versa, because you just figure out people's personalities and you know how. Some people don't mind you being combative with them. They don't mind it. Some guys
you're
trying
right.
to shut down, and it's like, I don't want to deal with that coach and go the other way. So you got to find out a way to sort of get every guy. But again, it doesn't mean that Vrabel's not a good coach. And like a Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry comes from that school of thought of a Nick Saban where it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
There are going to be things that are said. So it doesn't bother a Derrick Henry. It didn't bother me when John Harbaugh, he and I went at it, or Fisher and I went at it. I was coached by Nick Saban. I seen him run people out of the program.
Yeah.
Okay, so what you doing is cakewalk compared to what Nick Saban was doing his first 2 years at Michigan State. He was a hard ass. He had to be a hard ass because he had to change the culture within that locker room. So he had to be that way. So what you doing, and I'm sure that's what probably Derrick Henry thinks, like, man, this is a cakewalk compared to what I used to go through with Nick Saban or what we used to go through with Nick Saban.
But some
guys don't experience that.
I think on the other side, too, Callahan is going to have to make sure he draws the boundary, too. There are going to be days where he's got to come in and say, all right, I know I'm giving you guys some slack here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to give you a different approach, but I do have to draw the line.
Mm-hmm.
This is unacceptable. You know, you got to have that in your tool bag. Somewhere, right? You can't just be Mr. Nice Guy no matter what. There are days where you have to drive it home, or some players where you're like, okay, this guy is not responding. I'm trying to give this guy some slack, but I got to drop the hammer here.
But it's different coaching styles, because I guarantee you somebody like Tony Dungy, you just know Tony's personality. It seems like more of a mild-mannered guy. His approach, albeit it may be stern and you respect it, it may not be the same as a Vrabel.
Yeah.
But they're still getting the same point across. You know, so some guys are able to sort of navigate in that world and in that space of a Vrabel type of coach, which he's not a bad coach.
Yeah.
Or some people are better with, say, a Tony Dungy type of coach where, I'm a beast. You know that this is the job I want you to do.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you as much, but I'm not going to do it in a way where it's embarrassing you. But you're going to know.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, we either going to cut you or you're going to be on the bench. But I don't have time to be embarrassing you. I've told you this is the way you do it. If you can't get it right, then we got to move on to the next guy.
It's like Lane Kiffin comes from the Nick Saban School of Coaching.
Yeah.
But at Ole Miss's spring game, they had a hot dog eating contest in wheelbarrow races.
Yeah, it's just
a little different guys, approach there.
And some guys are receptive to that.
Can you imagine Nick Saban doing that?
Oh, no.
What if you
guys did
that?
Have the dizzy bat race for the Titans, though.
Yeah, everybody
on the last
did
day.
That. Everybody. Goodness gracious. I hated that.
That was rough.
I hated doing it, but I didn't mind watching other people do it. So.
Rookies.
But it's just a different approach again. Nobody's saying that. And I hate that we have to reiterate this over and over again. Nobody's saying that Vrabel was a bad coach.
Right.
Vrabel was a good coach, but his coaching style got old. So much so that players are saying things now. Not directly like Vrabel, but they're telling you, man, if we feel a lot more loose, we feel like we can sort of spread our wings a little bit. We can walk around here like, okay, we don't have to feel as if, oh, my goodness, Vrabel. Or, oh, my goodness, there's coach.
Yeah.
Or, oh, my goodness, I don't want to get called out. Like, that's the first. Like, leaving practice, if you are thinking about being embarrassed on film, something's wrong with that. Like, the minute you come off practice, like, you're thinking about, like, damn, they're going to see that in me. He's going to call me out. That's not cool. It's really not. Now, I can see if you're walking out to yourself like, damn, I need to get that straight.
Yeah.
Like, I need to be better in practice tomorrow. That's a different story than, damn, coach gonna call. Like, you dreading the next day, or you dreading, you know, the meetings in 15 or 20 minutes.
You need to be able to make a mistake.
Exactly.
Especially on May 30th.
And that's what guys seem like they're saying. They're like, man, we can go out and play. We can just play and not have this fear of making mistakes. Now, again, like you said, Brian Callahan may be that way right now.
Things
but keep
change.
On making mistakes and wearing into the season. It may be a different story.
It could be.
Exactly.
And look, it does. There is not a right way or a wrong way. Brian Callahan's way is just different.
Yeah.
And Mike Vrabel's way just got old. And that's the reason why he's not here anymore. But I do have another question as it pertains to Vrabel that I want to get into coming up next. You can purchase your tickets now for the Music City Grand Prix at the Nashville Super Speedway Friday, September 13th through Sunday, September 15th at MusicCityGP.com. As the race and station, 102.5 The Game has a special offer that is for a limited time. Use the promo code GAME, G-A-M-E, for a 20% discount now, and do it now because it expires on June 16th. Also, tomorrow, the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix show car will be at Mayday Brewery in Murfreesboro, and 102.9 The Buzz will have your chance to win tickets to the Music City Grand Prix. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Memphis Redbirds on the road. Pregame at 6:50, first pitch at 7:05 p.m. with coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We're reacting to things we've heard from several players. Will Levis talking about, hey, you know, they feel like guys can be more of leaders on the field this year. Chigakonkwo saying we're playing a lot more free on the field. Arden Key saying, hell yeah, we used to move on from drills even if we were still making mistakes. Even Taylor Lewan, I will use his quote, saying everybody's buttholes were tight with the last regime, which really puts a good picture in your mind there. But even Taylor Lewan saying it, I think, even speaks more volumes to me. He was very much so a Vrabel guy. He was a part of those Vrabel winning teams. A lot of reaction of the new regime. Things are different. Are they better? I don't know. We will see, but they are different. I'll ask you, If Vrabel wasn't as much of, for lack of a better word, an ass, especially the last couple of years, do you think he would still be coaching? Or do you think he would at least have a job?
I think you got to be yourself. I think you have to have your style and stick to it, for better or worse. I still say a lot of things out of his control went wrong. The one that is tough for me, and it was used against him, was all of the injuries. Mm-hmm. They kind of cited that as a reason why they were moving on. And I think it's clear from everything that went on, Amy Adams-Strunk was the one that sort of had the stock for Vrabel go from the highest of the high when she fired Robinson to, yeah, I'm moving on. I've changed my mind on him. And they used the injury thing. How much of that is Vrabel's fault, and how much of it was just bad luck for Vrabel? Mm. That's the one I wonder about. And does the coaching style figure into that at all? I don't know. But I think you've got to be who you are.
And the injuries, I can't say they're the coach's fault, but they were part of losing.
It's a big reason why they collapsed.
And would Amy Adams-Strunk, like if I was Amy Adams-Strunk, would I be more willing to give Mike Vrabel the benefit of the doubt if he wasn't as Vrabel as he was?
That's an interesting question. It is.
And look, maybe not. Yeah. She's like, look, I had two losing seasons. You're the coach. You're responsible. You're out. I don't care how nice you are.
Yeah, I mean, there's no anything saying or no evidence saying that, you know, she would have, you know, or she wouldn't have fired him had he not been the type of coach he was. I don't know if she would have fired him or not. I don't think I know if she fired him regardless.
Yeah.
And they were not winning. So whether, you know, he's a sort of stickler and a hard ass type of coach, or if he's this quote unquote player's coach where, you know, his approach isn't the same way, if you're not winning, then eventually you get fired. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that probably had much to do with it. I think it was surrounding some other things other than his sort of coaching style.
One text in, phone lines driven by WillsonCallahan.com, says if Callahan goes from this buddy-buddy guy to when he's losing to this alpha mentality, he may lose more people for being, quote, fake than just being himself. I'm a teacher. You have to be strict, stern, and hold kids accountable early. Then when they get the hang of the procedures, you can loosen the reins a little bit. You cannot tighten the reins once they've been loose. It's a lot harder to control that way.
Well, I think that philosophy has a lot of merit.
Totally. But it's not holding them accountable.
See, you're talking kids and you're talking grown adults. Those are two different things. You can't implore the same sort of tactic that you use for kids and say it keeps them in line and everything else and try to use that to grown men. Grown men figure it out and they get tired of it, you know, especially if you're doing this and there's no reward at the end of the day. And the reward is winning football games. So, yeah, I can do that to a little kid and get him, because they're still learning. They want guidelines. Players want them too, but kids truly need guidelines. And when you're in that setting in the NFL, yes, there are things you have to do as a head coach or position coach, but it can't be, oh, we're going to make it just like so rigid around here. Mm-hmm. And if y'all do well, we'll let up a little bit. No, guys, that's not going to fly. Because, again, they don't know whether you are, you know, serious or kidding. Or it's just like you confuse them. So you just need to be one way. And guys receive that. Yeah. One way and one way only. Now, personalities are going to change throughout the season. I get that. But be altered a little bit because of the win and loser. But, you know, you can't go in and, oh, I'm doing this because I got to get on. No, they're grown men now. You got to find another way. Because, again, it becomes old. When you're not winning, that stuff, I'm telling you, I've experienced it. It becomes old. Guys tune it out. That's why when just about every coach get fired, what is one of the reasons that everybody says, oh, he lost the locker room.
Yep, it got stale.
He lost the locker room. It got stale. Yeah, it got stale. And yes, he lost the locker room because the stuff he was doing, it doesn't fly anymore because we're not seeing results. You know, regardless if you change players or not, The end thing is we don't see results.
And I don't know if Vrabel necessarily lost the locker room.
Yeah, I'm not saying he did,
like,
or he
Urban
didn't.
Urban Meyer lost the locker room in Jacksonville. Like, I feel pretty good in saying that, and pretty early.
I think that it was there were some cracks. I'm not going to say he completely lost the locker room because I don't think he did. If you look at people, listen to people like Derrick Henry, he didn't lose the locker room, or some other people that, or Ben Jones, guys like that. He didn't lose the locker room, but there was some cracks in the armor, mm-hmm. you know, and ultimately, probably along with that and a lot of other things, that he doesn't have a job with the Titans anymore.
And I don't want this to get misconstrued as Brian Callahan doesn't hold players accountable. Yeah, exactly. Brian Callahan isn't pushing his players. Brian mm-hmm. Callahan isn't making practice difficult so that way once you get to games on Sundays, you know, it's really difficult. You know, I don't want it to get misconstrued as mm-hmm. Brian Callahan is this easy breezy kind of coach where everything is a fun playhouse. It's the demeanor. It's the way that you interact with players. That's the difference. I would at least hope that Brian Callahan is holding players accountable. If he's not, then this is going to be an incredibly short tenure. All right, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. I want to get back into your thoughts. But coming up next, a couple of things, a couple of questions that arose yesterday about DeAndre Hopkins, which kind of led me to think, kind of put the pieces together of, is this what DeAndre Hopkins wants? But there's been some clarification from there. But I still think that we need to have this discussion. The DeAndre Hopkins future discussion. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.